Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today, we present a sponsored podcast discussion on bringing more data to the mobile tier. We'll look at innovative ways to extract and make enterprise data ready to be accessed and consumed by mobile device users. This has been a thorny problem for many years now, and the approach of Kapow Technologies of focusing on the web browser on the mobile device has some really neat benefits. Kapow's goal is to allow data to be much more efficiently used beyond the limited range and confines of traditional enterprise applications and interfaces when delivered out through mobile networks. As enterprises seek to cut costs while boosting real-world productivity, using ubiquitous mobile devices and networks to deliver actionable and real-time data to business workers in their environment has never been more economical and made more sense. Here to provide an in-depth look at how more enterprises and their data can be packaged and delivered effectively to more mobile users, we're joined by J.P. Fennell. He's the CEO of Mobility Partners, a wireless mobility consulting firm. Welcome to the show, JP.
Thank you, Dana.
We're also joined by Stefan Andreessen. He's the founder and chief technology officer at Kapow Technologies. Welcome back to the show, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Gardner.
We're also joined by Ron Yu. He's the head of marketing at Kapow. Thanks for coming on the show, Ron.
Thanks for having us, Dana.
You know, I want to take a look at the state of mobile applications and the need now to get fresh data out to the field. Why is this a time when the imperative economically and in terms of business agility has perhaps never been as acute or as important? Let's take this to J.P. Fennell. You're in the field. You're working with a lot of folks who are dealing with these issues. Why is this such an important time?
You know, when I used to head up professional services for Nokia worldwide. Before that, I was with Deloitte Consulting, Xerox, and Cambridge Technology Partners, or Novell. So I've really seen these cycles in the past and adoptions of technologies a number of times. And mobility is different. So unlike conventional applications, mobile applications have a huge number of choices to juggle. There's choices about input and output, touchscreen versus QWERTY. So, for example, we've seen that with RIM recently, with a lot of controversy of with the Storm device, which is a touchscreen versus the Bold. So you don't really see that dimension in the traditional adoption. You also have the choice of device platform. That's also quite different from your traditional and choice of about development options. So there's a lot of a choice that's been kind of holding things back, and these are now starting, thanks to companies like Kapow, and they're making it much easier for developers to kind of get on board. And we'll touch on, hopefully later on during this podcast, you know, we can touch on some of the other factors that are coming in place to really make the 2009 a year where we're going to see some real adoption of mobility.
Right. Now, this complexity has been going on for a long time, and there are so many choices. Aside from what we can bring to the solution on the technical side, what is, from your perspective, JP, sort of pulling people to find the solution because of the real benefits of moving to the mobile tier and perhaps leaving the PC back in the office?
Right. There's a number of elements of suitability. When I was at Nokia, we wrote a book called Work Goes Mobile, Nokia's Lessons from the Leading Edge. It is one of the, according to Wiley Publishing, one of the top best-selling books in business mobility. And we're seeing that need to be more responsive. So business processes that really either are B to employee, B to E, or B2B, where responsiveness and timeliness is really an issue. And I'll talk a little bit more later about an application we did in the field for a major bank where substantial cycle time was able to be taken out of the process. So be able to be more responsive for doing more with less is the motto in 2009.
Right. Let's go to Ron Yu. Ron, what is it about data in particular that at this point in time can start to help these organizations be more agile and more responsive?
Yes, what we see within the enterprise is that the IT organization is really buried in the complexity of legacy systems, first and foremost. How do they get real-time access to information that's locked in 20, 30-year-old systems, on one hand? On the other hand, there's a tremendous amount of data that's locked in homegrown applications through intranet portals, and even applications that have been adopted and developed through the years, either through the IT organization itself or through mergers and acquisitions. And when you're trying to integrate all of these heterogeneous data sources and applications together, it's just almost impossible to even conceive how you would develop a mobile application. And so what we see IT focused on today is really solving that data problem.
And what is it about being able to get to the data presentation, perhaps first and foremost, beyond the full-fledged application that is attracting people nowadays?
Well, the interesting thing is that Kapow is not a mobile company. And the reason why we're having this discussion today is because Kapow customers have actually brought us in to this market because of how we've innovatively solved these real-time, heterogeneous, unstructured data challenges. Customers have come up with their own ideas of how they can actually develop mobile apps in real time, and that's what Kapow solves for them.
All right, let's go to Stefan. Stefan, what is it exactly that Kapow is doing that these users have, innovatively applied to the mobile problem?
So I think let's just go back to the foundation here. Why is the need for mobile application growing? It all started with the internet and the easy access to applications through the web browser. Then you got laptops, so you can actually access this application where you are on the road. The problem is the form factor of the laptop and opening it up in the airport and getting on the net is quite cumbersome. So to improve agility for the mobile workers, you're actually better off taking your mobile phone out of your pocket and seeing it right there. And so that's what's creating the need. And the data that people want to look at is really what they're already looking at on their laptop. They just want to move it to a new media that's more agile, that is more handy, and they can get access to wherever they are rather than only in the airport or in the lobby in the hotel, et cetera.
All right, JP, what's wrong with the way some of the other vendors and combination of hardware and vendor and service provider have tried to tackle this problem? Have they been using the wrong tools? Have they had the wrong philosophy? Why has this been so long in coming? What's the alternative that Kapow and folks like yourselves are putting together as solutions?
Yeah. Before I address that question, Dana, I'd like to back up and echo what Stefan was talking about, use cases in airports, for example. We solved a major kind of use case for a major bank. This is a unique problem where it was a process that automated the capture of credit card data or credit card applications in particular. Mm-hmm. So if you want a new piece of plastic, that is, you see these kiosks in airports and in stadiums and in shopping malls. And so like an airport where there's really no power and no connectivity, there is more of that today. Still football stadiums and shopping malls still very hard to kind of find a laptop solution that has the power for 8 hours and that will have the broadband connectivity. So that was another unique use case where there is a unique need for visibility and automation.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to add to that, too. It seems that there's a behavioral shift as well, that the more people use smartphones, the more they're used to doing their email through a handheld device, they sort of cross this barrier into an always-on mentality. And they can't wait to boot up and set up and charge the battery for a full-fledged PC experience. It really, I think, the expectation among people that start doing this always-on activity is that they want their data instantly whenever they are, wherever they are.
Dana, that's a great point. I think consumerization is an interesting market dynamic that is really playing a force into driving more need for mobile apps. We as consumers are being wowed by the iPhone applications and the Facebook applications and things that we can do in our private lives and in the social networking context. And we come into the business world, we demand the same type of tools and same type of access and same type of communication means, and we just don't have that today.
Yeah.
And so what we see as the line of business knowledge worker, we're putting a lot of pressure on IT, and IT's trying to respond to this, but dealing with the old traditional methods of technical requirements, business cases, and things like that just don't lend itself to quick, agile, iterative, perpetual beta types of development of mobile applications.
Right. So we have this growing dissonance between the expectations of the individual, the ubiquity of the mobile device, and people's comfort level with it, and then this sort of older approach and some of the solutions that have been attempted for mobile delivery, which seem to be extremely expensive, extremely cumbersome. Now, JP, what again has been wrong by the standards of the old methods?
Right. I wouldn't say it's wrong. You know, I would say it's incomplete.
Right.
And I would say that the approaches of these large platform vendors, and I'm a strategic alliance partner, several of them, are that they are not strong when it comes to agility and prototyping and being able to kind of accommodate this more real-time, iterative application development approach. And that's really where I think Kapow shines.
Yeah. Now, I've spoken to a number of developers over the years, and they've likened this mobile issue to an onion, where every level that you peel back, every layer that you peel back, you think you're getting closer to the solution, and you just keep digging down, and there's more variables and more hurdles, and eventually the cost and the delays have in a sense, dissuaded people from pursuing these types of activities. Stefan, what is it about Kapow that should help people become a bit more engaged and actually look forward to developing in the mobile tier?
Well, the answer is very simple. It's because we work in the world that they already know. So if you want a mobile application, if you want agility, you want it in the world of application you're already working with. So if you're already opening your laptop and working with data, we give you that exact same experience on the mobile phone. So it's not that you have to think about, well, what can I use this for? It's about taking what you're already doing and doing it more agile and in a mobile way. And that's what's very appealing. So the business worker gets their data and their applications their way on the mobile phone, and basically making it more effective in what they're already doing.
Yes, Dana, the metaphor that actually comes to mind for me is not an onion, but it's really on a baseball diamond. And so when you look at a Sybase and other ISVs that are selling platform and infrastructure, there are huge investments that you have to make. And so to me, it's almost as if you're looking for that home run hitter, that's, you know, Mark McGuire, I won't say Barry Bonds anymore, but there's a place to go for the home run and go for that large global enterprise deployment. But with mobile apps, what we've seen with our customers is that they want to hit singles. They want to be able to meet the demand of a line of business department. And to be able to get that out, get that in their hands, kind of the 80-20 rule applies, and get some experience and develop some best practices and some learning lessons about how they can iterate and roll out the next one. We have customers, and I think Stefan's going to elaborate a little bit more when we talk about Audi, but Audi literally rolled out 4 mobile apps within their first week of implementing Kapow.
All right, well, let's get into the actual solution. So we want to solve these mobile data access problems. We're writing directly to XHTML. You refer to this as ETL or extraction and cleansing and extension of data for web data sources. Help me understand technically what it is that Kapow is providing here.
So I think the best way to describe that is to come with an example. Let's say I'm the CEO, and this is actually a real use case. I'm the CEO of the big network equipment manufacturer, and I go to the airport and I open up my laptop to see what are the latest sales figures. And I have this these application where I can see the sales data, I can see performance, I can see market changes, etc. And I'm sitting on my laptop. And what is unique with Kapow is that you can go then to the developers and say, hey, look at this. This is what I want on my mobile app, on my mobile phone. And they actually can get the data out in the world of the browser and turn it into standard APIs and basically get it to any mobile devices. So I think what we did, just to give an example, what we did there is with 3 hours of work, we developed a mobile XHTML application for BlackBerry that was giving the dashboard that the CEO needed. And so that shows the power of Kapow right there. And the alternative approach would be a 3-month development, probably $150,000 of cost.
Yeah. What's required on the handsets to be able to access what you're describing?
So we can see handsets today are getting more and more browser-enabled. So, of course, if you have a browser-enabled phone, it's very easy to do this. You can write just in XHTML, as you mentioned. But a lot of companies already have a mobile infrastructure platform. Mm. And since what our product is doing is turning applications to standard APIs, standard feeds, it actually also works with any mobile platform and can work in the devices that they support. And, so basically, get the best of both worlds, you can say.
Yeah. How do we get over the hurdle of when applications are developed for a browser and a full-blown PC, where there's quite a bit of visual graphics and images, but we want to boil that down into really text and numerics? What is it that you can bring to the table to solve that problem?
So we recently had a webinar, and we asked some questions of what are the biggest challenges that people have. And the number one challenge that came up was standard access to the data. And that's exactly the problem we solved. We allow you to very, very quickly, almost as quickly as it would take to browse an application once, mm-hmm. Turn an application into standard API, and then you can take it from there to your mobile phone or your mobile applications.
Right. And people, of course, can deploy with VPNs and use a variety of SSL or other authentication so that this data and this delivery to the mobile tier remains secure and access privileges are maintained.
Exactly. And we basically will leverage the security mechanisms already in place. The whole benefit with Kapow is that you don't have to really rewrite or anything or get any new infrastructure or anything. You just use what you already have. Because you are working with the data, you just don't do it in the mobile way you want to work with them, and we allow you to do that.
Right.
What's powerful about Kapow is that we have an IDE development environment mm-hmm. that basically allows the IT architects to service enable anything with a web interface, whether it's a home page or whether it's an application. And the power of that really is to bring the knowledge worker or line of business manager together with the IT person to actually develop the business and technical requirements in real time. And so this helps to perpetuate this kind of beta development of mobile applications where you don't have to go through months and months of planning cycles, because we know that in the mobile world, once you've gone 1 or 2 or 3 months past, the business has changed. And so the ability, as Stefan was enumerating on, to be able to develop the data applications for mobile in a matter of hours is powerful.
Let's go to JP again. Give us a sense, perhaps, of what types of content and data have been the first to be deployed and delivered in such a fashion, and what sort of developers are the most ready to start exploiting these capabilities?
Yeah, Janet, where I'm seeing the most projects that are get funded, where the traction is today, is where the projects are getting funded. And projects don't get funded unless there's a business case. The best business cases are those where there's a business process that's already got some, that's already been defined, and it needs to be automated. And typically those are field-based types of processes that we're seeing. So I'd say, you know, the field force automation projects like we're doing with utilities or direct sales agents are the areas where I'm seeing the most investment being today on a departmental level.
Right.
And also to echo what Ron was saying before, you know, you need to go through that prototyping or iterative phase. So, for example, we had these utility technicians that were in the field, several hundred of them, and they initially we designed the screens to be scroll down, and an alternative UI for that was actually to have a screen for each question, and if once they answer the question, they hit the next screen. So unlike a pure web application where, you know, you want to kind of have a scroll bar and scroll down and answer maybe 10 questions on a page, the technicians much prefer to have one question per page because of the form factor. That only was discovered as a result of the prototyping. So that's just another example.
And this is a good example of exactly what Kapow can do. If you have an existing web-based application with 10 questions on one page, you take our product, you pull it into our Visual IDE, and you turn it into an API, service-oriented interface. And then you can put a new user interface on that basically asks one question at a time. And solving exactly the problem that the JP is referring to.
Right. Now, this strikes me as something that's going to become even more important as organizations adopt more software as a service applications, as we see more of the providers of software as a service deliver their applications for both a PC browser experience as well as a stripped-down mobile one. We're already starting to see that on the social networking and consumer side for users of, say, iPhones or iPod Touches. And it's going to be interesting to see how if a field mobile warrior is going to be accessing this information through the SaaS provider, why they wouldn't be able to then do a similar function against the on-premises or applications that are delivered through the enterprise. So it's almost as if the SaaS world is going to drive the need for more of these types of interfaces in the enterprise environment. Does that make sense, Ron?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, once again, there's this whole notion of completeness that JP mentioned earlier. The SaaS vendors, the Salesforce.coms, are going to be focusing on building out their applications. But at a company level, at a departmental level, we are going to have unique requirements that Salesforce will not be able to develop and deploy in their application in real time. Yes, they have the application, the App Exchange, and you have access to force.com, and you can write your own apps. But once again, you're talking about software development. With Kapow, we completely leapfrog the need to actually have to write code. Because of the visual programming IDE tool, you can actually work, as Stefan was saying, at the logic, the business logic level. Work with the interfaces that you know to basically service-enable your data and roll out apps in real time. And so we see this as enabling and empowering the IT organization to take control of their destiny today, as opposed to waiting for these funding and cumbersome development processes and planning processes to be able to scope out a project and then to write code.
Right. Now, because of Kapow's heritage and the fact that it's been doing Enterprise 2.0 activities for a while now, it seems that the developers that become attuned to thinking for the mobile tier can, in a sense, develop the application once to then appear anywhere. Is that starting to happen, JP, in the market?
Well, one thing that's unique about mobility is the degree of fragmentation. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, there's a lot of choices you have to juggle, not just the device, but actually the platform. So WinMobile, Symbian, UIQ, which I just understand today filed for bankruptcy, but RIM and Palm. So there's a number of device platforms, and then you have development options, right? Mobile browser versus Spark client, J2ME versus .NET. Stefan could probably, and Ron could probably talk about what some case studies that they've been seeing in terms of the write once, run anywhere.
Yeah, let's take this same question, but through the lens of case studies. Now, you've got users like Bank of America, CNET, Audi, Visa, Intel. Tell us a little bit about perhaps some of these use cases, and also if there has been somewhat of a write once, run mobily as well as perhaps through traditional interfaces.
So let's for example talk about Audi. It's one of Kapow's larger customers, and it's a company that's very web enabled. Actually, we see that with most companies, they're getting web enabled. So they have a big intranet with a lot of applications there, and one of the applications is, for example, for the managers on the assembly line. He can monitor where are the cars in the production, where are they in the assembly line, what is the status. But he's walking up and down the assembly line, and his laptop is probably in a different office. So going back and forth to actually work on his application is very cumbersome. So one of the first things we did with them, and as Ron said earlier, we actually built 4 mobile apps for them the first week, was take that intranet application and mobilizing it so that the assembly line manager could actually stand right there in front of the car, take up the phone, and access the entire application. So this is an example of the same application existing both as a traditional browser application and as the mobile application. The interesting thing here is that with Kapow, it enabled you to leverage that you already have the web browser application and reuse that and refurbish that into a mobile application in a very, very short time frame, as I just described. Then you can also take the question further if you're going to develop an entirely new application and you want it output in both medias. What is the key here? That is, the key is first to get your data in a standard interface and then build on that. And that's where you use Kapow. You get the data in a standard interface, and then you can build it out for different medias as needed.
Right.
Dana, would you like to hear about the iPhone app that we built for Gartner?
By all means.
So, we just attended the Gartner AADI show in December last year, and they have a very neat website where you can go and check the agenda and so on. And you can also walk around with the Bible, of course, this big book, and see what's going on. The problem is, let's say I'm sitting in a presentation as like, wow, this is boring. What's going on right now? I'd rather want to see. Well, what you really would like to do is take your phone out and click a button now, and then you would see, you know, which are the rooms and what are the things going on now. So what we did, actually together with IBM's Rational EGL team, we built a mobile version of the Gartner Agenda. So with Kapow, we turned the existing Gartner Agenda website into a standard feed. And the Rational Guys built an iPhone application on top of that. And we were promoting that. It became a big hit at the show. Even all the Gartner people, they loved it. And virtually, you could build your own agenda. You could push a now button when you're in a boring presentation and walk somewhere else. And getting all the benefits of the mobility in just 2 or 3 hours of total work and for thousands of people.
Right.
Dana, the most amazing thing about this is that Stefan and I had a conversation on a Thursday evening in preparation to a mobile analyst meeting that we were going to be having at the show. So on Thursday evening, we said, wouldn't it be great to walk into that briefing with an iPhone app? And Stefan said, great. So in the evening, he spent an hour and a half to create this service feed, and he contacted our partner at IBM. In an hour and a half, they used their tool and developed that application, and it was just phenomenal. Stefan, why don't you talk about the interactions that you got with the IT folks at Gartner?
Yeah, so the IT folks of Gartner, of course, they're amazed that we could actually produce this, and they could see how popular it became. So I ended up having a meeting with them, and we're talking with them right now. And actually, if anybody wants to see this application, we have it live and running on our website under our mobile solutions page. So please feel free to go there and check it out. It's really cool.
So, Dane, I think this is really a perfect example of how the enterprise in 2009 will operate. The ability to wake up one day and to have a line of business, an IT person conceive a mobile application and to be able to deploy it within the same day. I think it's powerful, and hopefully we will see more examples of what we did for Gartner within global enterprises.
Yeah, no, this also raises another issue, which probably is sufficient for an entirely separate podcast, and that's the juxtaposition of this sort of data with location and positioning services. Now, perhaps at a conference, not only would you want a room number, but you might be able to get direction to it if you were able to juxtapose these services. Just quickly, to anyone on the panel, what is it now that enterprises should consider, not only delivering this data out to a mobile device, but juxtaposing it with location services, and what could that offer?
So this is Stefan here. I think you are... There's a more fundamental question of what you're saying. Can we leverage different sources of information in the same application? And if we just go back to the Gartner thing, yes, I could pull out the room name of the room, but I didn't have the map on the Gartner side. But the hotel itself, of course, have a separate website with the hotel information, maps, and everything. So you could actually use our product and service enable that as well and combine the two and get a new, I would call it a mashup mobile application where you leverage the benefit of multiple applications that you couldn't even work together with before.
Yeah.
So at least that's one answer to that question, that you can now combine and mash up several applications and get the combined efficiency.
Yep, that strikes me as a real return on investment benefit, because not only are you justifying the cost of delivering the data, but you're able to then use that data for much higher productivity when you do these, as you say, mobile tier mashups. I think that's really important in our economic climate to basically 2 + 2 = 6, and that's what I think we're talking about here.
And exactly. And what would people do today? They would manually have to look at different places and on their paper or on their mind combine the things, and that is all what you can automate and create a lot of efficiency.
Right. All right. Well, quickly, we're almost out of time. What does the future portend for Kapow and some of these mobile services? Is there a roadmap for improving the breadth and scope of the solution? And once again, I'll throw this out to anyone on the panel.
Well, so one thing that we're doing, you mentioned it earlier, software as a service. We launched Kapow on Demand half a year ago, and we can see that that's driving a lot of mobile business. So now you can use our product not only for on-premise solutions, but also in the cloud. So we see that as a major driver in our roadmap to support that.
Excellent.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I think it's pretty clear now that from our perspective and from JP's perspective, there are no clearly defined mobile applications. What we've seen the ISVs and the mobile operators focused on is really, or actually IT organizations, focused on the security and infrastructure. But really there hasn't, beyond email and SFA, there really hasn't been one killer app. And I think that tells a story that every enterprise will have their specific mobile apps that they're going to roll out. And so with Kapow, we will continue to mobile enable IT organizations to be able to roll out applications as quickly as they can conceive them. And so on the other part of that, we will continue to focus on partnering. So at Kapow, we will not be a mobile ISV per se, but we will continue to partner with the platform providers to help drive more adoption of mobile.
Yeah, I think JP hit on this a little earlier when he focused on the business process, and perhaps we're not going to see mobile killer apps or killer mobile apps, but killer business processes that need to have a mobile element to them.
Right, and there's something called, or what I call, strategy emerging from experience, and the best way to kind of get adoption in your enterprise is to rapidly iterate at departmental level, and gather your experience at that way, create some kind of centralized governance or coordinative governance that captures the lessons from those, and then kind of become more strategic. But what I'm seeing in 2009 is a good experience base. Almost every enterprise today has at least one department that's doing something around mobile. And if it's getting, and one way to kind of get that to be more strategic is to kind of be more iterative with your approach.
Well, great. We've been talking about the delivery of more content and data out to a mobile tier, but without some of the pain and expense that has been traditional and the complexity that's been traditional in these activities. We've been joined by our panel, J.P. Fennell, the CEO of Mobility Partners. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
We've also had Stefan Andreessen, founder and chief technology officer at Kapow Technologies. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you, Dana.
Also, Ron Yu, head of marketing for Kapow. Appreciate your input, Ron.
Thank you, Dana. I enjoyed the discussion.
This is Dana Gardner, principal analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions. You've been listening to a sponsored Briefings Direct podcast. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.